I struggle with the sermon today. I know it's, I'd rather shout the walls down at Jericho than to talk about the sin of Achan at Ai. But please don't get too quiet on me. Anybody got, how many happy God took care of the sin issue? Come on, we just took communion. How many glad God made a way for us to be able to conquer sin and death and hell and the grave? And so today, as we move forward in our series, we have to deal with chapter 7. Just can't go. I wanted to skip chapter 7, go to chapter 8. You know, but yeah, we do need, thank you, Ricky. We have to take up the offering. I just got so excited about preaching, and I saw the sermon coming up, and I said, we're going to preach. You know, but our ushers are probably trying to get back, are they? Oh, good. Look at them, boy. Give the ushers a big hand. They're ready today. I mean, sometimes they're in a coma state. I have to shake them and throw stuff at them, but today they are ready. I love that. Thank you so much for giving. We appreciate so much your gifts, tithe and offering, and we are grateful. We're able to do what we do. Some of you give online. Some of you give in this offering as it goes in just a few minutes. It's part of what we do in worship, giving back to God all that he's blessed. How many say the Lord has blessed you? Well, this is a small way that we can say thank you to the Lord. It's a first fruit. It's saying, God, you gave me the energy, the strength, the wisdom, the brains to work and make a living, and now we give you 10%. So we love you, Father. We thank you so much for what you've done in our lives, and we praise you for all that you've done in the service so far. I feel your presence. I pray. I know this service and this message is a little different, but we have to deal with sin issue. It's nothing we can skirt. It's nothing we can run away from. We want to be open and bold, and we want you to reveal anything in our life that is displeasing to you, so that we can get back in the right relationship. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. As the ushers are receiving the tithe and the offering, I want to ask you to continue to pray for the victims of wildfires all over Missouri, Oklahoma, all over the nation, really. High winds brought wildfires, and then tornado on top of that. And then it's heading somewhere. North Carolina can't use another one. But it's down to Mississippi, all over the place. There is disaster, 3 deaths in Missouri, 3 deaths in Arkansas, and that was the last count I had. But how many know the Lord is able? Convoy of Hope has already been dispatched. Anybody glad for Convoy of Hope? We appreciate Convoy of Hope and ministries like Convoy of Hope that are there on the front line, first responders. And then we had this massive, I don't know where it was, 55-car pileup with trucks and 18-wheelers. I don't know if you saw that, but that is very, it's catastrophic. And shut down a major thoroughfare. And so every day when you look, if you say to me, Pastor, I don't know what to pray about, then you must have your head in the sand. I mean, there's a lot to pray about. If you lack something to pray about, just call the office. I'll fill your list and your prayer closet up, and you'll spend a lot of time there, okay? And so Marilyn Raines just had surgery. Others are just recuperating. Others are going in. So we have lots to pray about. And I want to say thank you for you to a body who cares about each other. I mean, the church ought to care one for another. And you care one for another. You pray one for another. And I appreciate so much the way you love each other and the way you love the Lord. I preface that before I preach a big red hot message on sin. I know it took a couple of weeks to get through Jericho, but it had lots of stuff I just couldn't pass over, all the good stuff in chapter 6. But today I want to look at chapter 7, the defeat at Ai. All right? And the context of chapter 7 is crucial. In other words, I have to go back to chapter 6. I'm not going to stay long there, but you need to get an understanding of chapter 7. You have to look at chapter 6. So chapter 6, I'll come to chapter 7 in a minute, but look at chapter 6 of Joshua. And I would say verse 18, if you don't mind. The Lord has just saved Rahab. He took and brought destruction and judgment to Jericho. He gave them 400 years to repent. They did not repent. They turned to Molech and to other gods, and they just would not serve the Lord. The Canaanites would not serve the Lord. So the Lord is using Joshua and the people of Israel to bring judgment. That's a powerful thing at Jericho. And in verse 18, after he saves Rahab, how many know if there's somebody that wants God, he is going to save them. In the midst of a wicked Canaanite city of Jericho, there was a Rahab and her family. And they heard the good news. They heard the word that the God of Israel is moving through the Red Sea, going across the Jordan, and their hearts were melted, and Rahab was set up for salvation. How many glad God still saved? Then we get to, after that, verse 17, verse 18, and you, chapter 6, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, and I'll tell you what that is, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. All the spoils, okay? They are the Lord's, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. I want you to know, when a battle happened, and the people who sieged the city and won the victory of the battle, the spoils go to the victor. And they didn't go to Joshua and the Israelites. They went to God. Because how many know God is the victor? It wasn't Joshua and them who made the walls come down. They cooperated with the Lord, but it was the Lord. How many know your shout and your trumpet blowing doesn't make walls, fortified city, come down? Only our sovereign God. When you do what he orders you to do, and then when you wait in faith to see what he's going to do, big things happen. But they come with restrictions. There are commands in the Bible, and they're to be obeyed. I said they are to be obeyed. In Deuteronomy, you see, obey the words of this book, and you'll be blessed. Don't obey the words of this book, you'll be cursed. It's a big deal. So God brought judgment to Jericho. And he had reserved the silver and gold, all that, for the treasury. All the other stuff, he said, leave in Jericho to be destroyed with Jericho. Everything was destroyed. Everyone was destroyed. And I know a lot of people look at the story and they say, how can a good God who loves everybody? Listen, he extended grace to them for 400 years. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. But if somebody wanted to be saved, Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? Lord, if there be 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, if there be 10 righteous, would you spare the city? And the Lord said, you know what, Lot, you and your family get out of there. Because Sodom and Gomorrah have what's coming to them. And can I add to you that in the days of the future, after the church age, the only thing stopping the wrath of God from coming to this world is the church. You get out of here. How many know you think it's bad now? You remove the church of God out of this place, it's not going to be good to be here. Because you are fighting back, holding back the kingdom of darkness. Are y'all seeing this? So the things that belong to the Lord, silver and gold and all that, that goes to the treasury of the Lord. Right? That's the spoils. They belong to the Lord. How many know the tithe belongs to the Lord? I won't preach on tithing, but I'll just tell you. We're going to get into it. I don't expect you to shout, but you're already doing better than I thought. I said, you're doing better than I thought. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So the destruction, everything else that was spoils was to be destroyed with Jericho. And he said, don't touch it. It's the accursed thing. Don't use it for your personal life. If you do, not only will you be cursed, all of the country, all of the nation, will be cursed. That's the instructions of the Lord. How many times in this series on moving forward did Pastor Ron say, listen to the instructions? So that's the context, and Jericho fell. God gave specific instructions to all the treasures are to be devoted to him. All the spoils go to the victor, and God was the one who was the victor. Don't take anything from Jericho as it is to be destroyed with them. Verse 18 of chapter 6. But what the text doesn't reveal is when Achan chose to steal. The text doesn't reveal when Achan chose to steal. So when they went back to their tents at Jericho in the night hour, somehow between the time that they left Jericho to go and take Ai, and Ai was not very far away, right? Ai means ruins. It's not Ai. I don't think it's the computer wizard Ai. Okay, don't go there. We're in a nation of Ai, the next city on the pathway, the roadway heading from Jericho. So this is the conquest of Canaan. Joshua and the Israelites are taking the territory that God said belonged to them, right? So Ai was next. It means ruins. It was 12 miles west of Jericho. It must not have been an impressive town because it was probably built on the ruins of a town before it. Because the city was smaller than Jericho, the advice of the spies in a little bit is to say, don't sweat it. We got this next one. And we'll see how that gets you in trouble. How many know there's some things that'll get you in trouble? Born-again believers, spirit-filled believers, tithe-paying believers, church-going believers, Bible-carrying believers. If they're not careful, carelessness and presumption and prayerlessness can get you into trouble. Can somebody shout amen? And so the text doesn't reveal it, but chapter 7 opens up and says, Achan's disobedience. Look at this. Sin in the camp. What can we learn from the story of Achan? He got his little cloth there. There he is. Oh, Achan. Oh, my aching, breaking heart. Whew. But the children of Israel, I emphasize and blew up the word but. In Bible study, in studying scripture, if you see the word but, right, it is a conjunction. How many went to school? Conjunction, junction, what's your function? You know, no, okay. Well, it starts with but because he ends chapter 6 on a high note. Boy, they go from taking Jericho, a fortified city that's not, it's impassable, but God said it was impossible. So they go from Jericho, and then it opens up like this. But the children of Israel committed a trespass or a sin regarding the accursed things for Achan. Here it is. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. I want to stop right there for a second. Just for a second. I'll keep going. I just want to set the context. Because somewhere in the night between Jericho and Ai, Achan leaves his tent and goes into the rubble, finds this robe, Canaanite robe, nice, a gold bar and some silver in a bag, takes it back to his tent, digs a hole, and puts this accursed thing in his. This is a deplorable, wicked, destructive thing to do. And he did it in secret. Somebody say secret. At least he thought it was. Is anybody going to help me preach this today? So the result was that Israel suffered a defeat at Little Ai after winning the victory at Big Giant Jericho. And even after God's warning and command, Jericho was under a ban. It was called a ban, a cursed thing. Do not, do not. They knew what it was. No one take anything else. It's interesting, verse 1, that the children of Israel undermined, underhanded God, committed a sin or a trespass against God regarding the accursed thing. For Achan took the Lord's anger, and the Lord's anger burned against him. And it was very clear. It wasn't something they didn't know. The Lord completely destroyed it and wanted to destroy everything. But if you touch it, you will bring trouble not only on yourself. How many know sin will bring some trouble? Sin will bring heartache and pain into your life. The wages of sin is death. Especially in the Old Testament. Aren't y'all glad we live in the New Testament? My goodness, we'd hardly even have a church in the 21st century if we lived in the Old Testament. Be a pile of rocks everywhere. I didn't think you would shout about it, but I'm telling you, it's still true. And so Achan, oh boy, you will bring trouble on you and trouble on the whole camp of Israel. And this is the outright disobedience, and he knew better. Yet Achan snuck in and did that and stole what belonged to God and brought a curse on himself and all of Israel. He thought nobody saw him. But hear me today. There are no such things as secret sin. If you don't get anything else, there's not such thing as secret sin. How many know the Lord sees everything? Hebrews said our lives are laid open and naked before the Lord. He sees every secret thing, and he will take care of it. Let's read all the scriptures. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho. Here's the next part of it. To Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them saying, go up and spy out the country. That's normal. That's what they did at Jericho, right? Same thing. He's a good leader. And they returned to Joshua and they said to them, now here comes some of the problem. Hey, Joshua, don't let all the people go up. Just about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Don't worry all the people or worry them about this. The people of Ai are few. Just a little tiny town. Can I tell you what snuck in? Pride, self-confidence, presumption. All of these things began to happen in their hearts. And so about 3,000 men, Joshua went with it, all right? 3,000 men went up from there, from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, killed them, for they chased the others from before the gate as far as, well, Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Here we are again. Here we are again. The hearts of the people melted. Didn't that happen the last time the spies came back? Then Joshua tore his clothes, and this is a powerful part. I want to spend a little time here. Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. That means all day. We sang about it. Paul and Silas sang all day and all into the night. Well, here's Joshua, the leader, mourning, grieving, can't believe it. And as my study, I found, Jim, this is the first time and the last time Israel lost any men in battle. These 36 men that died at Ai, no other battle. This is what sin can do. The devastation of failure. But listen, we're going to get happy in just a few minutes. Just hang with me. How many know failure is not final? We'll get to chapter 8, but we got to deal with chapter 7. Yikes. So they put their heads, him all till evening, the elders and of Israel, and the put dust on their heads. It was the customary thing, sackcloth and ashes, basically, right? And Joshua said, alas, Lord God. That word alas is meaning with deep sympathy, with deep, deep sorrow. Why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? How many's ever been in a disappointed place like that? How many's gotten to a place, even if you're born again, full of the Spirit, you got so discouraged because of an event, a failure, or some sort came to your life, and something happened, circumstance, and you cry out to God from all your heart, why did we even bring us here to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us, Lord? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Does this sound familiar? I mean, can't you contrast Israel's just going through that same thing again and again and again? Oh, I wish you would have left us in Egypt. Doesn't that sound like the same narrative? Well, here we go again. Love the way y'all are helping me. Verse 8, oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel, now he's going to turn it on God. Joshua's smart here. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it, surround us, and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? Hey, that's a good leader. You know, I'm pastor. I've pastored long enough to say, Lord, this is not my church. This is your church. What are you going to do with them, Lord? I heard Moses say that too. Pastor Moses said, Lord, what are you going to do with these people? And God said, if you move out of the way, I'll annihilate them. No, he didn't. I'm teasing him. Something close to that, though. So verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, I love this. Get up. Somebody shout, get up. If you have a failure, how many know there's still hope for tomorrow? If you're a leader and you get in a situation where things go backwards, you don't win the battle. Hey, listen, there's a lot of battles, but just because you lost a battle don't mean you lost the whole war. So get up. Why are you lying thus on your face? Israel has sinned. Can you imagine Joshua's shock to find out Israel, all of us have sinned? What did we do? He didn't know at that moment. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I've commanded them. They knew the covenant. They knew better. For they have even taken some of the accursed things. Now God's revealing to Joshua the details of what happened. They've taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. Not only did Achan steal it, he hid it and acted like He didn't confess his sin. I mean, it's one thing to sin. It's another thing to have secret sin, unconfessed sin. And we're living in a day where churches are filled with people who are living in sin. Come on, church, unconfessed sin. They know better, yet they go day in and day out, still leaving the sin in their house, in their tent, buried under where they're acting like everybody don't know. But the Lord knows, and the Lord will reveal it. You can be sure, the scriptures say, that your sin will be found out. They knew it. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Not only did Achan sin with greediness or whatever he thought he was going to get, how awful to steal something you're never going to be able to use. He stole it, put it in a hole to never be used. What a dumb thief. He put it with his own stuff. I don't know who knew, but God knew. Get up then, Joshua. I'm going to tell you what to do. Get up, sanctify the people, and say to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. How many glad for tomorrow? How many glad there's hope for tomorrow? I'm telling you, sin is not the final thing. God saves as long as it's day. How many know there's salvation? Today is the day of salvation. Today there's hope. If you have secret sin or sin in your life, that's why we have altars. We're not here to shame you. We're here to help God release you and redeem you and reconcile you. That's the goal of the preacher. He's not trying to beat nobody down or bring condemnation. Romans 8 says, verse 1, there is now no, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. How many know God's for you? But when you blatantly disobey his command, there are repercussions for sin. You don't hear that preached much these days, but I'm glad at Oak Grove we still hear a message preaching against sin. Sin is very problematic. We don't just tolerate it. We don't just tickle our ears and say, you're okay, I'm okay. Secret sin is a dangerous place to be. Dangerous. So get up, sanctify the people. Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Because thus say the Lord Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Wow. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be, here's the plan. How many know God has a plan? Because the man of God went to God in prayer. Let me insert something here, because Israel wasn't totally blameless. If Joshua, in verse 2, would have went before God in prayer, before he listened to the spies that said, don't worry about little Ai, how many here believe God would have taken the moment to reveal the sin of Achan at that moment? How many know as soon as the Holy Spirit convicts you, that's the time to confess your sin? Don't bury it. Don't hide it. Go to God in prayer. So prayerlessness on the behalf of Israel caused this issue to happen as well. It wasn't just Achan. But I believe God would have revealed to Joshua in that prayer time like he is now. Are y'all there? So it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Basically, you got 12 tribes of Israel, issues. It probably is their name, 12 tribes of issues. That's the new name for Israel, 12 tribes of issues. The 12, hey, you don't have to laugh. It's good for me. I'm not flawless. Now listen, when we're dealing with sin, if you confess it and how many know the Lord can redeem you? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody to go to. But if you hide it, keep it a secret, Satan's going to use it against you. And their judgment is the only hope. And so he tells him to take the tribes and bring them before every tribe comes before. It's kind of like accountability. Everybody's going to come. The whole nation sinned because of one man. By one man, Adam, sin came into the whole world. But I've got good news for you. By one man, Jesus, sin was destroyed. Can somebody give the Lord a praise? Come on, give him a praise in this house. The second Adam took care of what the first Adam did. But in the meantime, Achan has an aching, breaking heart. And he has to deal with it. So he took all the families, brought them together. And then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire. He and all that he has, because he transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done this disgraceful thing in Israel. When the Lord calls your sin disgraceful, how many know that's pretty bad? Diabolical. Wicked. Stealing from God. Can I tell you, you're better off to steal from me than you are to steal from God. But it's a commandment. Thou shalt not steal. And then he hid it. So here's the deal. He's going to confess, but I'm not sure is he going to repent. How many know there's a lot of people going and confessing, but they're not really repenting? I need an amen here. Churches are filled with people who come to the altar and confess, walk out and do the same thing they confess. Repentance means to turn away from. To turn away from and to turn to. So this is the downward spiral of Achan's sin. He was tempted just like all of us. And it looks very much like Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, doesn't it? Eve saw and then she coveted. It was good to look at. Then she took it and she ate it. Then they were punished. Curse came upon them. And you and I are under that. But how many glad for Jesus? All right. So they didn't feel the need to pray. And it seemed to be no challenge. That was the first mistake. And then they presumed that God was with them. That was the second mistake. They didn't need to find God's will or his plan to take Ai. They're just so small. We're so big and we're so mighty. We took down Jericho. I mean, pride is the root. The awful sin of pride. Self-confidence. God of self. We don't need God anymore like we needed him at Jericho, because Jericho was impassable, but Ai is, we can take Ai. We got this, Taylor. We got this little old place. We don't need the Lord. Can I tell you, I need him every day, every hour of every day. Big town, little town, any town, I need the Lord, and I need to consider the Lord. Because of Achan's sin, Israel was cursed. Chased out of Ai, 36 men died. And verse 5 says, they said, well, God did it at Jericho. He'll do it again. Whoa, really? That's called presumption. You let God do what God wants to do. Don't ever presume that just because God did this there, that you got it. Because it was all God. I said, Jericho was all God. The Jordan, all God. The Red Sea, all God. The manna, all God. The water from the rock, all God. The quails, all God. How many know it's all God? Israelites didn't do anything. All they did was walk and murmur and cry and complain and whine. Much like the Assembly of God churches today. God bless America. I'm just teasing. We love them all. There are no such things as secret sins. Wow. Two things happened. They failed to pray, and they were very careless. And one man's sin. Had they prayed and sought the Lord, I think they'd have had a different thing. But sin came in the camp, and you never move forward into battle with sin in the camp. When sin is in the camp, God's protection is not. We learned in our study on favor, that series we did on favor. Favor is the protection of the Lord. How many glad there's a covering over your life? A protection. I said, how many glad you're in the cleft of the rock? Is anybody glad that God protects you? And if there's an anointing of protection on you, then there's an anointing and a protection on your family. There's a corporate anointing and there's a personal anointing. Because I'm saved, and we read the scriptures in Acts this morning, because the prisoners, and they all got saved, and then the jailer got saved, and his whole house got saved. It works that way positively. How many know it works that way negatively? And so we find ourselves here Why did you bring me to the Jordan at all? Was it to deliver us to the Amorites and destroy us? Oh, that we would go back. Verse 9, how will you ever defend yourself? God speaks. I love when it's God's turn to speak. Get up. Get up, buddy. I've got a plan. If you are here today, and we only got a few minutes left, if you're here this morning and you've disappointed yourself, disappointed God, if you have sinned, willful disobedience, I'm not talking about things that are minor or whatever. All sin is sin. But I'm talking about you willfully sinned against God. You knew better. Because James says sin is when you know to do right and you don't do it. That's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is knowing what to do and not doing it. In fact, that's outright rebellion. Had the command and you didn't obey it. And so he says, get up and let's take care of this. And they were defeated because they have, the Bible says in verse 12, become doomed to destruction. I looked at that and I thought, wow, because the spoils were doomed to be destroyed and Achan took the spoils that were doomed, Achan actually took into the destruction. You remember Lot's wife? Remember how he said, don't turn your back. Take and get out of town. I'm about to tear the place up. Don't turn around. Well, she gets back and she had a love. Something happened. Lot's wife turned back and only salt, no pepper. I don't know what happened. But the Bible says in John, if the love of the Father is in you, the love of the world is not. The love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. And if you want to be attached to that, then listen to this. You reap what you sow. Achan and all of Israel, because they were one community, just like we're one church, your sin affects all of us. The sin in my life affects my family and my church. So we have to get up and get rid of it. Somebody say amen. Get rid of it. You destroy the accursed thing from among you, and I will get things rolling again. But until you, if you keep secret sin in your life, Satan is going to take advantage of that. And so if secret sin, how many know the whole idea is that it's a secret? And even if you're ashamed to reveal it, you don't have to reveal it to me or Miss Melissa or the Assemblies of God, but you do have to reveal it to God and to Jesus. How many know he's a redeemer? And if you don't confess your sin before the Lord, he will shout it from the mountaintop. What you've done in secret, he said he will reveal to everyone. So get up and sanctify the people and get the sin out. Somebody shout, get the sin out. I know this is not for us. This is for some church or somebody online, but here's the way in which Achan went down. He saw. And it's an evolution. He saw. Achan saw something that he should not have been looking at. He's looking at something he shouldn't have been looking at. That was already cursed. Don't do it. Don't touch it. How plain? Do you want to know what that means in the Hebrew? Don't touch it. You want to know what it means in the Greek? Don't touch it. Touch not the unclean thing, right? And he had been in the right place, then he would not have been looking at it. It reminds me of David's sin. The reason David is called a man after God's own heart, even though he sinned, was because he had a heart of repentance. In Psalm 51, he said, oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh, God. Forgive me, redeem me. And even though he got forgiveness and redemption and back reconciled back to God, he still paid the price of the repercussions. And what we don't even hardly preach on anymore are the consequences for sin. You still have to pay the price. David and Bathsheba's baby died. Somebody's going to pay the price. And so, God forgives us, heals us, but he has to deal with sin. Many of us will get in trouble simply because of what we have put our eyes on, seeing it. Listen, you better watch the gates. Watch your eye gate. Especially you men, listen to me. Watch what you look at. Because it comes into your soul, it'll get in you, it'll get on you. How many know it's addictive? What you see. Remember the little children's church song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For Pastor Ron is on the... No. Because the Father up above is looking down in what? Wrath? No. Love. Love. This is a... If you're not living in sin today, take this as a preventive maintenance sermon. Hey, listen to it. And they often got back to tell him again, sin will corrupt, sin will defeat. Look at Samson's life. Strongest and, you know, look at Solomon. Strongest and richest, and yet he, oh my. It's easy to get distracted. Easy. And then after he saw, he coveted. An unlawful desire began to build in his heart. This was a time when he should have confessed, but he didn't. That's when he should have did it. He was a thief in his heart first before it got in his hands. I mean, the Holy Spirit always convicts. Hang in there. I'm just about done. We're not going to get it all done today. We never do. But I believe the Holy Spirit convicts. I believe every time you're tempted that you're the Holy Spirit is with you and he will help you. He'll never give you more than you can handle. Are y'all understanding? He will find a way of escape, Paul said in Corinthians. He'll find a way out. He'll find a way of escape. If you take that, Max, if you take that way, if you repent and say, Father, forgive me, get me out of here. Remember Joseph? He was tempted. Potiphar's wife. Y'all remember her name? Yeah, Potiphar. Pastor, how do you know her name was Potiphar? If she was ugly, it wouldn't have been a temptation. So she tempted Joseph, and he said two things. First, he said, I will not betray my God. I mean, no, that's powerful. His first priority was to make sure he was living right and pure before the Lord. And then he said, number two, I wouldn't do that to Potiphar, my Lord, his servant, his master. So there's accountability, but the ultimate accountability is God. Don't we need today in the church today a revival of the fear of God? Oh, don't make me preach it like I'm feeling it. If you feared God, you wouldn't touch the unclean thing. And if you feared God, you would live in harmony and unbroken victory. If they'd have just stayed pure and prayed and wouldn't be so careless, they could still take. So they took Achan out back, just like they took Ananias and Sapphira out back. So, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, Ananias and Sapphira is in the New. Anybody glad that we just pay tithe and not have to be stoned and buried? And not just Achan, his whole family. Wow, what a disgrace. When I was growing up, I wasn't old enough to know, but we were still not probably a Christian family. You know, we weren't a Christian family, but we weren't a wicked, immoral family. We were nominal. I mean, know what nominal means. We said we were Christian, but we didn't go to church. So we were name only. So, yeah, ask me if I was a Christian. I would say, of course I am. Aren't you? But I was lost like a little goose. But one thing I did know is that I would never bring shame to my family name. Anybody remember that? Boy, and back in the day, if you brought shame, don't you go to jail? Can you imagine if you went to jail, you'd bring shame to the Moran name? My mom and dad worked hard. They didn't deserve. My family name was kept themselves on the straight and narrow. They weren't perfect, but they weren't villains and hoodlums like I was heading to. So it kind of kept me on the straight and narrow because I didn't want my family to be ashamed. Can I tell you how that works with us? If we as a body of Christ are really have accountability and unity and community at Oak Grove Assembly, then I always tell our new members, don't you dare. If I catch you at the midnight rodeo, I'll strip you of your membership before you can blink your eyes. Say, well, how good is that? Well, listen, Oak Grove Assembly members don't go to the midnight rodeo. They can go to the rodeo, but not at midnight. I love it. I got my new cowboy hat, so I'm in. I'll be a cowboy with you, but I won't. And how about worse than that? How about if you pulled up on Glenstone and looked to the right, and Pastor Ron's walking in the Midnight Rodeo? Is it still there? I don't even know if there's a place like that, but I thought there was a like a saloon or something over there. Well, y'all are so holy, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Father, this message is for somebody else. They're not seeing nothing, coveting nothing, or taking nothing. They're protected. They're not punished. Anyway, yeah, it is a good warning. And that's exactly what this is. And when they piled rocks upon Achan and his family after they stoned him to death, and they call it the Valley of Achor, trouble, the Valley of Trouble. Trouble came into camp just like God said. My whole point in this message is to let you know that if God says it, he means business. If he says the sin of the accursed thing, do not touch it, it will destroy you personally and all the camp. He's serious. Then he finally had grace because of crying out of, how many know the church needs to get before the face before God and cry out on behalf of the church? Cry out on behalf of the body of Christ and say, Lord, get the sin out before you bring judgment. Because the Bible says judgment starts in the house of the Lord. Why would he judge the world when the church is acting up? And how can we be a witness and a light if we're walking in darkness? So he took it. He probably never thought anybody would ever find out. There's some of us that feel that we would never do such a thing, but you put yourself in that situation, you don't know what you'd do. And so I often think, and Chrissy, you can come back with your team because I'm not going to finish. I never do. Achan was not satisfied with what he had. His sin was covetousness. Israel's sin was prayerlessness and presumption and pride. But Achan's sin was covetousness. He had everything he wanted. He had everything he needed. But he took something that belonged to God. That's bad news. And he had unexpected, he had an unprotected life, an undetected weakness, and the opportunity came and he took it. Unexpected opportunity. Here, before you die, before I die, if Satan did this to Jesus at the temptation of Christ after 40 days of fasting, are y'all listening? 40 days of fasting, the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness. And there's where Satan met him and tempted him three times just like this. All three, just like Adam and Eve, just like Achan. He said, look over this. He told Jesus, look over this. All of this, I'll give to you if you bow and worship me. And Jesus said, thou shalt have no other God. The Lord our God is one God. He quoted the word of God. How many know the word of God will get you out of trouble? Sin will get you in trouble. The word of God will get you out. And then he coveted. He said, listen, hey, I'll let you be the leader of all of this. Just throw yourself off of this just a second. Covetousness, pride. And then he wanted him to partake of them as Adam and Eve partook. But Jesus turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. How many know sooner or later when you're getting tempted, you're going to have to get bold and courageous. That's why God said in Joshua 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, be strong and very courageous. Be strong, be bold, be courageous, because Satan's coming after you. He wants to destroy not just you, but your family and your whole nation. And that's why we ended up, he was punished, horribly punished. Seems so bad. Imagine that. Satan will set you up before you die. If he set up Jesus before you die, he'll bring you to the top of the pinnacle. He will ask you to turn this stone into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew his mission, and he knew his moving forward had nothing to do with giving in to the pressures and the temptations of Satan. And that's why he was the victor. If your life is unprotected, if you have no accountability, if you're not praying, if you're self-confident, arrogant, not seeking God's covering, then you'll fall too. Take heed when you stand, lest you too fall. So he saw, he coveted, he took. And then he hid it. He hid it. Achan didn't fully trust the word of the Lord to provide for his people, which is why he took the accursed thing. Had he waited after the fall of Jericho, Israel took the spoil of the land. They had it all. God gave it to him, right? Not just one city. He traded his inheritance for a wedge of gold, a garment, and a few pieces of silver. This word of God is quick and powerful, sharp. Don't let Satan rob you as he did Achan. Conviction, to me, is a good thing. Conviction is a benefit to the believer. I want you to stand with me. We got 1 minute left for you to get convicted and converted. The worst thing he did was hide it, covered it up, act like it didn't happen. He buried the unclean thing in his heart.